This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. For many people in Boston, housing is a huge challenge. From price to availability, finding a place where you want to live and that you can afford is very tough. The simple yet complicated problem is that there are too many people who want to live here and not enough places to meet that demand.
And it's a vexing problem, and one that will only get worse as the city's population continues to grow and as the economic divide continues to widen, pushing many families out of their homes and familiar neighborhoods. So we're going to begin today talking about Boston's housing challenge and about Mayor Marty Walsh's plan to tackle it.
Last week, Walsh released a plan to create 53,000 new housing units by the year 2030, with a third of those for middle-class earners. The cost of that project would be $20 billion. And as a way to free up housing stock, it would shift thousands of students now living off campus into dorms.
But is the plan enough, and is it affordable? To better explain it and the potential challenges, we're joined by Sheila Dillon. She's chief of housing and director of neighborhood development for the city of Boston, and she's with us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's really good to have you. And Barry Bluestone, director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Studies at Northeastern University, and a frequent guest here on Radio Boston, and we'll let him quiet his phone before I say, Barry, welcome to the program.
Glad to be back. Sorry about that.
It's good to have you. And listeners, we want you to silence your cell phone and join our conversation as well. Are you feeling the housing squeeze in Boston? What do you think needs to be done about it? Have you heard about the mayor's plan? If you have, what do you think about it? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. So, Sheila, I'd love to just start, if I could, with a challenge. The report notes that by 2030, Boston's population will swell by 90,000 residents to more than 700,000 folks living at Boston. So when it comes to housing in the city, there's already huge pressure. What's at stake if the city doesn't take this on and get it right?
Well, you're right. And Boston's a very desirable place to live. It's a very popular place to live. So we need to plan for the future. So when we started work on this plan, we really looked at the population. What's happening to it? Is it aging? Is it young? What's the population growth look like? And we really tried to project out. So not only are we making it better for folks that are living here now, but planning for the future and making sure we build enough housing units so the rental market and the homeownership market doesn't get tighter still.
Mm. And Barry, I'd love to sort of ask you that general question. What's at stake here? Why does Boston need to tackle this so urgently?
Well, the problem we're having in Boston and in a few other cities around the country is that we have a new renaissance in cities. At one point, Boston had over 800,000 people in 1950. Mm-hmm. It shrank to 560,000. It's now up to about 630,000, going up to 700,000. And as those people come here and you don't keep up with the housing stock, you have the old economics of just demand outstripping supply. And so rents have been just soaring here in Boston. Condo prices have been soaring. And while people of wealth can afford to move in here, and we house some of our poorest citizens in public housing in Section 8, it's the vast middle-income family, the working family, who's being priced out of the city and either has to give up food for housing or mm-hmm. has to move out of the city. And that would mean that if we don't do something with this, we're going to have a city which has some real wealthy people, some poor people, and it won't have much in between. Mm. So solving the housing problem is critical to the whole structure of the city.
So, Sheila Dillon, let's dive into the mayor's plan. And the top line is 53,000 new units by 2030. Tell us what kind of housing we're talking about, for whom these new units would be built.
Sure. So of the 53,000 units, we looked at various segments of the population. And we know that we need to build more affordable housing. While we've done a really good job, about 20% of Boston's housing stock is affordable, we know that by 2030, there's going to be about 40,000 households that need affordable housing. The problem is it's expensive, and the federal government has cut back their financing. So we're not going to be able to build our way out of that, but we are going to try to increase the affordable housing production by 50%, creating about 6,500 new units of affordable housing. We really looked at this middle-income piece. It's a hard one to solve because we don't have enough funding to offset the rents and the sales prices. We've got to really focus on our lowest income population. Mm-hmm. But we had to figure out how do we incentivize the private market to build more moderately priced housing. So the plan calls for 20,000 units of more moderately priced housing or housing for our middle class. And we have come up with a menu of incentives for developers to do so. Some tax relief, some good density. The mayor is working very closely with the labor unions to get better prices. So we're trying to put together an incentive package so they'll build, the private developers will build more moderately priced housing.
Now, the plan also calls, as we mentioned, for cutting the number of students who live in private homes and building 16,000 new student units by 2030. Is this something that local colleges and universities have to buy into? And if so, are they going to do it?
I think so. Yeah. The mayor's had two very good meetings with college presidents and administrators. And to come up with the number of 16,000, we looked at the enrollment figures, and they've been going up slightly. They've been going up more dramatically for graduate students, but for undergrads, they're still going up some. And what it would take to get that number down by 50%, that's the 16,000 number reflects that. The colleges are willing. We're going to sit down with them, you know, in the upcoming months and devise a dormitory plan for each and every one of them. Some of them are saying they would like to work with private developers to build dormitories, and we're having those conversations as well.
Now, Barry, I know we've talked to you about this on this show, but the importance of getting students out of, you know, what is once upon a time was sort of middle class housing stock, right? Really important.
Absolutely. I mean, the problem is that building new housing for working families is difficult, expensive, and I'm glad to see the mayor working as hard as he can on that. But another way to solve this problem I sometimes talking about is housing jujitsu, is that if we could get more of our students, and particularly our graduate students, where we have the fastest growing population, we have over 100,000 graduate students in the greater Boston area. 92% of them live in the community. Many of them doubling up, tripling up in, let's say, the second floor of a triple-decker in Somerville or Boston, taking away housing that really is appropriate for a working family. If we could build the kind of housing that they would really desire, maybe smaller units but lots of common space, lots of amenities, we could free up a lot of that housing, and that would start to tamp down prices and rents and make it easier to solve this problem for the working families that the mayor is so concerned about and we are too.
Sheila Dillon, what do you think of that idea? What Barry sort of described as a kind of jujitsu, build new housing, get those students to move out, or is that in the mayor's plan?
I totally agree with Barry, and I think the plan does that, and I think he's absolutely right, that what used to be market rate housing that was for middle-income families or low-income families were the triple-deckers, the second and third floors, you know, apartment buildings that maybe weren't, you know, as desirable as others. And those were typically market-rate affordable housing, and they're full of students. Yeah. And, you know, we all agree that the colleges and universities do a lot for the city. They add vitality and they add to our economy. We've got to figure out the student housing issue.
Listeners, we're talking about Mayor Marty Walsh's new housing plan, a plan to build 53,000 new housing units by 2030. We'd love to get your take on the housing crunch in Boston. What do you think needs to happen? 1-800-423-8255 is the number to call. Sheila Dillon, she's the Chief of Housing and Director of Neighborhood Development for the City of Boston, is with us, and Barry Bluestone from Northeastern University. Let's go to Raheem, who's calling from East Boston. Raheem, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up the point because I'm a young man. I'm 25 years old. I was born and raised in Brighton. I still live there. And the fact that the idea of that people in my generation who are getting good jobs in the city are moving to neighborhoods and they're kind of accidentally gentrifying neighborhoods. And we were kind of raised in this idea that color and the idea of segregation isn't a reality, even though it is very much in this city. So kids my age who really didn't grow up in an urban neighborhood are being exposed to this and they don't really recognize it while they're just searching for affordable places to live like everybody else.
Hmm. So you're saying sort of the idea of young professionals almost accidentally gentrifying neighborhoods. Is that the idea?
Exactly, yeah. They're moving into neighborhoods where they don't really see a problem that they're displacing people and they don't really see themselves as part of the issue.
I see.
They themselves are just looking for places to live that they can afford with, you know, a fun urban environment. And it just so happens that, their presence makes rents go up and things like that.
Raheem, it's a great point. I'm glad you put it on the table. Barry Bluestone.
Well, Raheem is right on. If you look at just the basic census data, between 2000 and 2010, the last decade, of the population growth in Boston, in the city of Boston, three quarters of the net growth in population were people between the ages of 20 and 34. Raheem is right in the middle of that. And that was not true in the past. Young people left the city looking for jobs elsewhere. They're now coming here, and we absolutely need them to stay here. That's our future. But they're having the adverse effect of putting so much pressure on the housing stock, not because their demand is high. It's because the supply hasn't been there. And that's what the mayor's proposal is trying to fix.
I see. Sheila, Dylan, do you want to add to Raheem's point? I mean, this sort of, I mean, it's a good thing that folks like him want to come into the city, but it does put pressure on the housing market.
It does. And we want him to stay. And we, I want to thank him and the folks that he lives with or near. They are bringing vitality to the neighborhoods and restaurants and shops and excitement about Boston. And we want that. We absolutely want that. We want him to stay, but we don't want him to displace others. So we want to build more housing. Absolutely.
Let's go to Pedro, who's calling from Milford. Pedro, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Sure. So I worked a little bit on Margaret Walsh's campaign, doing some canvassing and whatnot, and just one thing could kill two birds with one stone. Who knows? He had this program that he started up when he was just when he was a rep, called, I think it's called Building Pathways. Basically getting minorities, women, all that fun stuff, some training on like skills based jobs. I don't expect you guys to have the info on hand. But I remember I read once an article of, like, Utah or somewhere over there helping to fix their homeless problem by building these really low-cost, like, less than $15,000 units to house the homeless people. Well, if you go and train some of the youth getting out of, high school or whatever on how to do these things, that's kind of like fast-tracking on the way to, having space for people and cheap and training people how to do jobs.
Pedro, let me put this on the table because Sheila Dillon is not nodding her head. Tell us about Building Pathways and what Pedro's referring to.
Sure. He's referring to a wonderful program that the mayor put in place when he was representing the union trades, Building Pathways. It trains young people and people of color and women to work in the union trades, and they've done wonderful work, and folks are entering the unions, and it's terrific. This plan does call for a lot of job creation, and so it is not only providing housing, but we're estimating that it will provide 51,000 jobs, construction jobs, just to build this housing. Mm. So people are busy, so we do need to expand the roles, just the ranks of the unions and contractors. So right now, people are employed and they're working, so we do need to figure that out. We have a slight shortage of construction workers in the city right now. So if we're going to get costs down, we do need to figure out how to increase the supply of workers as well.
Pedro, thanks for that call. Sheila, I'd love to read something to you that a listener posted a few days ago on WBUR.org after the mayor released this plan. The listener identified himself as Circus McGurkus. This is what he wrote. It's a kind of provocative question. It's not just housing. There is housing in Boston, but it's not desirable housing. There's street crimes. Some areas lack amenities and transport options. More than two-thirds of Boston is not easily accessible for safe bike travel and T-service, let alone walking to any place desirable, to art centers, movie theaters, restaurants, shopping, entertainment. If Boston were smart on housing, it would build in a unified manner where amenities and housing go together, where the retail has a stake in the outcome of the housing success and vice versa. I don't know if that's right, but it sounds like a provocative sort of suggestion. Wanted to get your response to it.
Yeah, I think I can't think of one neighborhood in Boston that isn't a desirable place to live. Certainly some have crime and some aren't as close to good transit as others, but there are wonderful people very involved and very excited about their neighborhoods throughout the city of Boston. The plan does call for the most increased density around good transit. So we are not looking to build very dense housing where there's not very good transit. And if we build dense housing, then amenities will follow. Restaurants will follow and shops will follow. We have 20 wonderful Main Street districts in the city of Boston. We would love to see more housing above the stores, right around the stores, right around these commercial hubs. You'll often hear the mayor talk about building more affordable housing, elderly housing on our Main Street districts. So bringing housing to revitalize our commercial districts and vice versa.
Barry, where do plans like this get stuck? I mean, what are the obstacles? Because it seems like everybody agrees that we need more housing, but where do these plans get stuck?
Often these plans get stuck at the neighborhood level. You know, you want housing in the city, but once it gets to my block, I want to make sure it's the kind of housing that's going to be consistent with what I think my neighborhood should look like. Mm-hmm. I think what the mayor is doing, and I think he's the first to really go about it in the right way, is to bring together a broad coalition, a broad collaboration, developers, architects, universities, teaching hospitals, neighborhood associations, community development corporations, construction firms, the building trades. That is the way you build the kind of collaboration, the kind of group that can really get down to the neighborhood level and say, look, we hear your concerns, but here we have architects that can design something that fits your neighborhood just perfectly and provides housing for people who needs it. Here are construction firms are saying, we could build a manufacturing facility right here in the Newmarket area of Boston. I've got three architecture students designing that right now, where we could build units working with the building trades, training literally hundreds and hundreds of young people in the city to build this kind of housing and put it where it makes sense. Hmm. So when you build that collaboration, I think you have the first step of actually getting this done.
Let's see if we can fit another call in here. John is calling from Roslindale. John, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. It's an excellent program, and it's a timely topic because there's something as a blue sunset. For years, I mean decades, Massachusetts has been suffering with the high cost of living, particularly attributed to the cost of housing. So the mayor's really got the bull by the horns, as somebody said. But one of the things, I went through that cycle. I came from another city, became a graduate student here, got married and stayed. And I have a real estate broker's license. I don't use it as much anymore, but I've worked in both home sales as well as rentals. But one of the biggest problems is transportation, and particularly shuttle and the availability of buildable lots, which you've already sort of glossed over and addressed. But transportation, particularly shuttles, is going to be one of the keys in to be able to develop zonable lots that and other things that we talked about, as well as bicycle paths.
John, I'm going to just jump in part because our time is running low, but also your line is breaking up. But your points are well taken, and let me put them to Sheila Dillon, talking about transportation, the availability of bike paths, and so on and so forth, as an important piece of this.
It's absolutely important, and he's right. We're seeing. I do want to throw this out. Right now, I think I've got my number correct, 39% of the people that work in Boston now live in Boston, and that is up pretty dramatically. I think it was 34% not, 10 years ago. So there are more people that are living and working in Boston, and that's good for our environment, that's good for traffic, that's good for a whole host of reasons. And we do envision that the developments are going to be close to transit, like I said, but we're also going to be working with developers on, what else are they? Do they have bike racks? Are they very close to zip cars? What alternative types of transportation are they providing? If we're going to reduce parking, we've got to have a good story to the neighborhoods of why parking isn't going to be required.
All right. Well, that's Sheila Dillon. She's Chief of Housing and Director of Neighborhood Development for the City of Boston. We've been talking about Mayor Marty Walsh's new plan to build new housing in Boston. Sheila Dillon, thank you so much for joining us. And Barry Bluestone, Director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Studies at Northeastern University. Always a pleasure to have you. Thank you as well.
Glad to be here.
Stay with us. Coming up, we'll be talking about former Boston Mayor Tom Menino's new memoir. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.